We have it in us to be Christ's to each other, to work miracles of love and healing as well as to have them worked upon us. This bold assertion by Frederick Buechner could well have been written as commentary on this passage from Matthew. The gospel today are the closing words of Jesus' missionary discourse, a series of instructions and warnings given to those being sent out like sheep into the midst of wolves. This passage contains the heart of Matthew's gospel, a timeless call for the church to go out into the world in Christ's name, as well as to receive and welcome all in Christ's name. Now, if we were to look back on Jesus' missionary discourse of chapter 10, we will find that it is packed, literally packed, with action verbs. Jesus summons, gives authority to, sends out, charges them to go, cast out, cure, proclaim, raise, cleanse, and ultimately lose their lives for his sake. These are the verbs that still define us, still define the mission of the church. And in reality, if we are honest with ourselves, the church over the last 25 to 50 years has been preoccupied with institutional survival rather than being God's witnesses sent into the world to bless all people. We have essentially not been the church. The term itself, missional, meaning sent, is simply redundant. There is no such thing as a church that is not a missional church. When we cease to be missional, we are no longer the church. We are simply one more secular type organization like Rotary or Lions or Kiwanis, serving consumerist needs as if they were nothing more significant than consumption. As an example for how the church has lived preoccupied with itself, I will refer to a story told by the Irish theologian Siobhan Garrigan from her book, The Real Peace Process. Miss Garrigan was greeted at the door of a Presbyterian church in Northern Ireland by two women church members who seemed to invite her into conversation. She soon realized that these women were ushers of some sort whose job it was to stand at the door of the church and interview newcomers as they arrived. They quietly asked her name and the first names of any other approaching strangers who wished to join the morning worship. Miss Garrigan soon figured out what was happening. Hearing the names, the ladies drew conclusions about the cultural and religious identity of each. Those with Protestant names were welcomed warmly and shown their seats. Those with apparent Catholic names, Marias, Catherines, Patricks, were told that they were surely in the wrong church and sent on their way. And this, believe it or not, still occurs today. Now, this is foreign to most Americans like you and me because it is about a faraway congregation of Irish Presbyterians who are nothing like us at all, still fighting their Protestant-Catholic battles. Fortunately, we, of course, have no such issues. Our society has moved far past such discriminatory behavior, right? I mean, we have elected a black president. We have broken down all walls and barriers. Everyone is equal, right? When we are confronted with the unsettling image of a Protestant church on the Irish hillside, we immediately dismiss such boundary keeping as abhorrent to the gospel. Perhaps, however, it is more familiar than we want to admit. The barring of the door may not be as unknown to us as we like to pretend. the church that we know would never ask the name of the stranger in some covert attempt to find them out and send them off to where they belong. Nevertheless, if we are to be honest about the church that we know, we would have to confess that though we define our borders differently, we define them still, albeit more subtly. The gospel today invites us to ask questions about the quality of the welcome we offer to one another within the body of Christ. Not just the building, but the body, which is the church. The gospel goes on to suggest that while we might find a reward in gathering only with those whose names sound like our name, or whose education or bank accounts resemble our education or our own bank accounts, there is a cost to the kinds of exclusive behavior that the church has tolerated for way too long. And I believe, for one, that this is what we are seeing in our nation today. In the Black Lives Matter movement, in the protests, we have, for far too long, prayed for the misdeeds and violence and death of our Black, Native American, and Latino brothers and sisters, and soon returned to our comfortable status quo a few weeks later, with no real buy-in and no real looking at ourselves. Jesus addresses the issue in the most personal of terms. He describes the love that families hold for one another, the tenderness with which we care for parents and for children. The tenderness and compassion must be our model for loving all who come into our lives in Christ's name. When we welcome the stranger, we welcome none other than the living Christ. This may sound at first like unsettling news. The ushers of the door of that Irish Presbyterian church behave as they do because they have been informed by a culture of distrust. Their desire to bar the door is born of the hope for security in their lives and in their tiny parish. And if we look deeply, if we are honest with ourselves, we are much more like them than we care to admit. And now, Jesus arrives and says, take that love for family, that love for your closest community, and extend it. Extend it further and further. Welcome in the stranger. Welcome in the one whose life you hardly understand. Not to change them, but to let them change you. And simply because they too belong to God. Here at Grace, it's fair to say that we do better than some, less well than others. But we struggle nonetheless. It is here, deep down feelings and insecurities, those who are scared, those who don't know, those who try to understand and grasp the realities of a changing church and take two steps forward and then one step back. We continue to struggle, and for that, we are thankful. We shout for joy and praise God that we remain and struggle. For those among us who have been previously shut out, who have been made to feel unwelcome, this is good news. Christ calls us to be sent out into the world, to be ambassadors, trailblazers, transformers. And that is not easy. It is a journey. growth with Jesus Christ is always a powerful force. And for us who have been here and who struggle and who have in the past guarded the door, this is also good news. For Jesus insists that although we might pretend otherwise, we are not gatekeepers of the community of God. We can bear that job no longer. Our work is to welcome, to offer and embrace when embrace is invited, and to give a cup of cool water for a hot summer day. Our reward, Jesus says, will be full indeed. Perhaps, just perhaps, I have been remiss in my message to all of you. For it is far less important that you all like it here than that each and every one of you know that you are being sent into the world to be little Christs, as Martin Luther taught us, and to meet other little Christs, to risk for the sake of love and justice, reputation, persecution, irreparable family rifts, to face the wolves of insatiable greed, rugged individualism, and exploitative power, to lose your lives and then to find them. Indeed, to inherit the kingdom. Then, we are being Christ to all, and all will be Christ to us.